First Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 9. And it reads, after the Philistines had captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to the Ashdod. Then they carried the Ark into Dagon's temple and set beside Dagon. When the people of Ashdod rose early the next day, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and put him back in his place. But the following morning when they rose, there was Dagon fallen on his face on the ground before the Ark of the Lord. His head and his hands had been broken off and were lying on the threshold. Only his body remained. That is why to this day neither the priest of Dagon nor any others who enter Dagon's temple at Ashdod step on the threshold. The Lord's hand was heavy on the people of Ashdod and its vicinity. He brought devastation on them and afflicted them without tumors. When the Lord of Ashdod saw what was happening, when the people of Ashdod saw what was happening, they said, the Ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us, because his hand is heavy on us and on Dagon our God. So they called together all the rulers of the Philistines and asked them, what shall we do with this Ark of the God of Israel? They answered, let the Ark of the God of Israel be moved to Gath. So they moved the Ark of the God of Israel. But after they'd moved it, the Lord's hand was against the city, throwing it into a great panic. He afflicted the people of the city, both young and old, with an outbreak of tumors. So they sent the Ark of God to Ekron, and the same happened in Ekron.
I hope I can keep your attention. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 6, verse 1 to verse 9. When the Ark of the Lord had been in Philistine territory for 7 months, the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us, how should we send it back to its place? They answered, if you return the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it back to him without a gift. By all means, send a guilt offering to him. Then you will be healed, and you will know why his hand has not been lifted from you. The Philistines asked, what guilt offering should we send to him? They replied, 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, according to the number of the Philistine rulers, because the same plague had struck both of you and your rulers. Make models of the tumors and of the rats that are destroying the country, and give glory to Israel's God. Perhaps he will lift his hand from you and your gods and your land. Why do you harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh did? When Israel's God dealt harshly with them, did they not send the Israelites out so that they could go on their way? Now then, get a new cart ready, with 2 cows that have calved and have never been yoked. Hitch the cows to the cart, but take their calves away and pen them up. Take the Ark of the Lord and put it on the cart, and in a chest beside it, put the gold objects you are sending back to him as a gold offering, as a guilt offering, sorry. Send it on its way, but keep watching it. If it goes up to its own territory, towards Beth Shemesh, then the Lord has brought this great disaster upon us. But if it does not, then we shall know. The next verses tell us the cows did go straight towards Beth Shemesh in Israelite territory. May God bless his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, that's an unusual story, isn't it? Who knew that that was in the Old Testament? It's an interesting story, and we're going through, whenever I'm speaking in this church, we're going through the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament under the title, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. We're looking at how our extraordinary God uses the most ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary plans and purposes. Last time we were looking at Israel's elders and the fact that superstition never works. Today we're looking at the Philistines, who were Israel's enemies, and they discover that God is awesome. So my first point is, there is no God like him. There is no God like Jehovah, no God like Yahweh, no God like the one true almighty God. You see, the Philistines have been victorious over the people of Israel. They have done what Indiana Jones and of the Raiders of the Lost Ark couldn't fully do. They have captured the priceless Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence, the power, the holiness of God, of Yahweh, the great I Am, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, Israel's God. The Philistines assume that Israel's God is just like their chief god, Dagon. And Dagon was a tall statue in a human form. And Dagon was known as the father of the gods, the king of the land of the Philistines. And so he was thought to be all-powerful. And so the victorious Philistines put the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's holy presence, in their own temple next to Dagon. The next morning, they go to their temple, and Dagon is face down on the floor in front of the Ark of the Covenant. That shouldn't have happened. This was Dagon's temple. This was his domain. This was his power base. So what do? They stand him back up again, but the next morning, it's even worse. Because Dagon's flat on his face again before the Ark of the Covenant, and his head has broken off, and both his hands have broken off as well. And, that is, again, very embarrassing for the Philistines. And it's very symbolic what happens, because the broken head shows that Dagon's authority, his power, his rule has been broken. The broken hands are symbolic of the fact that Dagon is powerless as a god to do anything. He can do nothing compared to Almighty God, because there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like our God. What a contrast this is to Yahweh. Yahweh is the Old Testament name of God, which it got called Jehovah, but it's actually YHWH, and it means I am. It's the name that was revealed to Moses in the burning bush story, if you're familiar with that story. So this is a complete contrast to Yahweh, Jehovah, because he is almighty. He is the creator God. He has authority in heaven and on earth. He is above all other gods. That's what the Bible says. Nothing is impossible with God Almighty. Every other god, we're told, every human will one day have to bow the knee to Jesus and confess with their mouth that he is Lord. And that's the message of the Bible. And the great I Am is not just another God to be put alongside the so other called gods and religions. Dagon was in the presence and the power of Almighty God. So it's no wonder that he fell face down. And every authority, every false god, every political power, every demonic power, every human king and queen will have to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is the sovereign Lord God Almighty. Our late queen knew that. And she wrote a pamphlet, or a pamphlet was written, about the king I serve. That was the queen saying, the king I serve. And it certainly wasn't the Duke of Edinburgh. It was Jesus Christ, the king. So what does the New Testament say about Jesus in Philippians 2? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So the Bible says Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. We need to bow before him. We need to confess with our mouth him. So my second point is, don't mess with God. Don't mess with God. The Philistines are realizing that they have underestimated Israel's God. Dagon is no match for him. Israel's God has real power. He is the holy God of justice and righteousness and wrath as well as love. His wrath and judgment was being experienced in the city of Ashdod, where Dagon's temple was. The story teaches us, as we heard, that don't mess with God, don't mock or curse God, don't ignore God, don't worship other gods or the devil. God Almighty has real power and authority. You know, it's a fearful thing to offend God. It's a fearful thing to face the judgment of God. In a couple of weeks' time, it will be Halloween. Don't just think that Halloween is harmless fun. Don't get sucked into celebrating evil and witchcraft and horror and darkness and ghouls. I suggest you don't let your children get exposed to it. On Wednesday, just this last Wednesday, I heard the testimony of a lady who grew up in Parsons Cross in Sheffield, a council estate in Sheffield. And as growing up, she really loved Halloween. And her mum used to let her go out trick and treating. And she became fascinated with darkness and horror. And when she was 13, she managed to get to watch the Exorcist film, which is a pretty horrific film. So watching that as a 13-year-old girl, and she found that she became obsessed with darkness and horror. She couldn't get enough of watching extreme horror films, reading horror books. She used to go to the library, get books out on witchcraft and evil. And her family thought she was just a nice, regular teenage girl. They had no idea what she got into. Well, praise the Lord, through the local church, she gave her life to Jesus when she was 16. But she found that she was still obsessed by evil and darkness and horror. And apparently 3 months later, after becoming a Christian at just 17, she needed deliverance, spiritual deliverance from the power of evil, the grip and the obsession of evil that had gripped her life. And praise God, since that deliverance, she has been free ever since. So we praise God. But that shows us the reality that the devil has real power and God has real power. Don't be naive and think that everything's cushy out there. It's not. It's a reality. There's a battle going on between good and evil. I don't know whether you've ever realized, if you take one letter away from good, you get God. If you add one letter to evil, you get the devil. And, you know, it's there, it's obvious, and it's real. Don't mess with the devil. He has power. Don't let your children be exposed to celebrating evil and darkness. Don't mess equally with God, because he has greater power than the devil. Amen? It's an awful thing to face the wrath and judgment of God. And what the Bible says, if we face the wrath and judgment of God, we will end up in hell with the devil, and we won't be celebrating Halloween then, I can tell you that. You know, it's not harmless fun when we get to that. Bring up your children to respect and honor God. That's what we pray for Arthur, isn't it? To worship and serve God, not the devil and evil. So the celebrated Philistine victory over the Israelites turned sour for them very quickly. The curse of Israel's God was upon them. Tumors were breaking out on the local people. And they say to the Philistine leaders, the ark of the God of Israel must not stay here with us because his hand is heavy on us and our God Dagon. So they move the ark to the city of Gath. But the same thing happens there. The Lord's heavy hand, it tells us, fell on its men, young and old. He struck them with a plague of tumors, and there was great panic in the town. So then they sent it to another Philistine town, Ekron. And the plague on the people of Ekron began before the ark even got there. And they cried out to the leaders, they're bringing the ark of God of Israel to here to kill us too. Please send the ark back to its own country or it will kill us all. You see, Israel's God, Yahweh, was too hot to handle for the Philistines. They couldn't contain him. They couldn't control him. They couldn't use him for their own advantage or gain power over their neighbors. He was far too hot to handle. You know, many countries and political and religious leaders and dictators have tried to control and contain God or Jesus and his church, and it never, ever works. They've tried to use God and Christianity for their own advantage, maybe to get political power over others. But the Almighty God is no puppet. You can't manipulate him. You know, Putin and Trump may try to control God and his church, but it will never, ever work. Other leaders try to destroy God, to destroy Jesus, to destroy his church, like communist Russia did. And they persecuted Christians, and they closed the churches, and they banned Bibles. But what happened? The church grew. Because God is bigger than those things. And it's amazing now, isn't it? I don't know whether you realize, but Putin is now using God and the church to justify his war and aggression. And that's even more dangerous. It will not work. You cannot use God to obtain your own aims and objectives. You cannot use God for selfish means. We have to bow the knee before him. He is a sovereign, almighty God. Do you try to contain or control God? You know, some Christians do. Some people who come to church try to contain or control God. Do you try to use God for your own advantage? Do you try to get your own way? Some Christians do that. Do you try to twist God's arm behind his back to get what you want? To get God on your side? I can tell you it will never work because God is not to be manipulated for our benefit. You know, some Christian leaders believe that they are so special and so anointed by God that God is on their side and everyone else is wrong. I don't know whether you've come across that. Sometimes you might see them on television or whatever. They are totally convinced that God is for them and that everyone else is wrong. And so they seem to think that God and Jesus is their number one fan. You know, that Jesus is there sort of marveling when they're up on the stage preaching. Oh, aren't they special? Aren't they wonderful? Aren't they anointed? You know, and it's almost as though they're expecting Jesus to be there at the side of the stage, you know, wanting their autograph when they stop preaching or whatever like that. You know, a bit like a fan club. But Jesus is never our fan club. We are meant to be his fan club. We are meant to be his disciples, following him, not going on in our own way in life. Some ordinary Christians claim God has told them that it's okay for them to do something the Bible forbids, or something that is illegal or fraudulent or immoral. But God will not be manipulated. He will never endorse habits and lifestyles that are contrary to what he teaches in his word. He never will do that. Almighty God, Yahweh, is to be revered, to be worshipped, to be honored, to be adored, to be obeyed, to be followed, to be served, to be surrendered to. Thirdly, the Philistines don't want God with them. They've seen enough. They can't control God. They're scared of what God is doing. They just want to get rid of God out of their territory. They don't want this Ark of the Covenant anymore. And they're reminded in chapter 6 of what Israel's awesome God has done in the past. They remember Egypt. Egypt was the superpower. But that superpower was brought to its knees by Israel's gods. It was God who brought about the plagues on Egypt, how all the firstborn sons were killed, how eager the Egyptians had been to let the Israelites leave, how God had destroyed the mighty Egyptian army in the Red Sea. Now the Philistines are in the same situation. They were desperate to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant as well that had caused so much trouble and suffering. And in fear, they realize they need to do something to appease this all-powerful God. So they present very expensive, pure gold models of tumors and rats. Could have thought of some nicer things to present to God, but this is what they came up with. Pure gold, very, very expensive. It's a sacrifice for them to provide these, but these models of tumors and rats as a sacrificial offering to God. And they plan how they can send the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel without appearing to be admitting defeat to the nation of Israel. And they come up with this plan. They put the Ark on a new cart. They take two young cows with calves. They put the calves in the pen. They hitch the cows to the calf, and they know that the cows will naturally stay close to the calves. Believe me, because I used to be in farming. You know, if you take away the calves from a cow, it's a bit like if you were to take Arthur away from Katie. You would have Katie after you. She will go wherever Arthur is. It's a mother's instinct. And so the Philistines knew that these cows, by nature, would always stay with their calves. They wouldn't disappear off in a different direction. And they said, well, you know, only God could make them go off in a different direction. If that happens, the Philistines said, it must be the Lord God Almighty who have brought all these disasters and illnesses upon them. You know, it's amazing how many coincidences we tend to think happen when God is at work. We just put it down to coincidence, don't we? So we pray for someone to be healed and they get better. Oh, that was just coincidence. Or it was the drugs they were on. Or, you know, you're facing a situation and you're really desperate in that situation and you pray about it, it gets solved. Well, maybe that would have happened anyway. But, you know, the Philistines here, they know that this is no coincidence. This has got to be God at work. And, you know, we need to open our eyes up today because God is at work in people's lives today. God has worked incredible things in my life. God has worked incredible things in many of the lives of the people here. It's not coincidence. It is God at work. God is at work in our world today. In 2025, it's not just 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born and died and rose again. It is today. And God is at work. That's why we love to worship the Lord here. It's why people get lost in wonder, love, and praise, because God is at work. God is present here. And so it's so important that we understand what's going on here. You see, because the Philistines knew that it must be the Lord God Almighty if these cows took this cart back to Israel. And if you know the story, the cows do leave their calves behind and they take the ark straight back to Israel. You see, Yahweh, the Lord God Almighty, is not to be messed with. He has real power. He is the God of miracles. With him, nothing is impossible. He's the same God today as he was in the past. Bang up to date. The question is how will you respond to God? How will you respond to Jesus? And 1 Samuel 6 shows, it's my final point, the only response to the awesome God is to worship him and to sacrifice. When the cows take the ark of God back to Israel, what do the Israelites do? We didn't actually read this part of the story, but the Levites, who were the priestly Israelites, lifted the ark and they placed it on a high rock so everyone, including the Philistines who were looking from a distance, could see it. And they worshipped God. They thanked God, as we thank God this morning. They thanked God for the miracles that he was doing. The miracle that he had brought his Ark of the Covenant back to them. Then they sacrifice to God. And it's very, very interesting. Because they take the valuable brand new Rolls-Royce cart or Porsche or Ferrari or McLaren or whatever else, you know, car that you particularly think is fantastic. They take this equivalent of this McLaren and they chop it up for firewood for the sacrifice of God. Now that was a big expensive cart. The Philistines had just made it for them, but they say, no, we're not going to take possession of this. We're going to offer that to God. And then they took the highly valuable, young, healthy cows. Some of you come from countries where you know that cows are a symbol of wealth. If you've got a few cows, then you're a rich person. These were two young, healthy cows. They just had their first calves. Their udders were full of milk, folks. You know, if they kept milking them, they'd have had milk for about 9 months. I know because I'm used to be a farmer. And, you know, there'd be plentiful supply of milk. They didn't bother about any of that. What do? They just sacrifice them. And they said they will be a sacrifice to God because of what he has done. That's our response, or that's their response to God. What does the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we see later in that chapter, 70 of the Israelite men from Beth Shemesh didn't respect God or the ark as they should have done. They opened the ark of the lid of the ark and they peer inside. And a bit like Harrison Ford, it's not a wise thing to do. The judgment of God came upon them and they all died. And in their mourning, the people cried out, who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord, the Holy God? You see, the one true God is the Lord God Almighty. He's the Creator God. He's pure. He's righteous. He's the God of justice and mercy. He's the Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of signs and wonders. He's the living God. He's the eternal God. How will you respond to him today? Will you just try to ignore him? Will God just be a swear word to you? Have you no respect or fear for God? Will you deny he even exists, despite all the evidence? Jesus says, if we do those things, we will end up facing the judgment of God, because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The only question is whether we do that voluntarily in this life, or on the day of judgment, we have no option but to bow the knee and realize that God is real. How will you respond to God and Jesus today? Will you bow down in worship and praise and adoration? Will you surrender your life to him? Will you be willing to be a sacrifice to him, to sacrifice your ambitions, your pride, your possessions, to serve and honor God and his son, Jesus Christ? Because that is why the Bible is there. That is why Jesus came. He came to die upon the cross, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, so that we can share eternal paradise with him in glory, so we can know the presence and power of God in our lives in 2025 and on into the future. Let's stand together, shall we? As we do that, I'm going to ask Lydia and the team to come back forward. Come back forward? Yeah. Come forward. And let me just pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you that you are an awesome God. Lord, may each one of us realize just how awesome you are. And Lord, as we recognize your greatness, your power, your majesty, Lord, as we recognize that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross, that so whoever believes in him shall not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for the glorious good news of Jesus Christ, that you have sent us a Savior and Lord. Lord, you are truly awesome. Lord, help us to bow the knee to you, to confess our sin, to repent of our sin, to believe in Jesus Christ, to surrender our lives to him in acknowledgement of what he has done for us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.